Hi, this is Tim Elliott, and this is Rebite number 3 with today's special guest, Paul Lancaster. Paul, do you want to introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, hi, Tim. So I'm the founder and director of the 5-day Newcastle Startup Week Festival, which takes place normally in May for just over 800 people last year, and we were aiming for 1,000 this year, but then the lockdown happened.
Yeah, tricky that old lockdown, isn't it? So, well, I discovered or heard about Startup Weekend probably a year or two ago. It's always been in the back of my mind because I love working with startups. So I'm a Virgin startup mentor and a bit of Places, a couple of other local kind of enterprise or startup, you know, government funded places like that. So I've always been super interested in kind of Startup Weekend. So where did it come from? When did you start it? Where did the idea come from? What drove you to do it? Tell us a bit about the background.
Yeah, sure. So my very first job was working for Sage, big FTSE 100 technology company, but on the help desk, sort of bottom of the ladder. Did that for a few years, and then I left to work with British Airways as a trainee graduate web developer, and realized quite quickly I'm not particularly good at that. My brain doesn't work that way. I'm not very logical or practical, but I'm pretty creative. So I moved more into web and copywriting and being more of a web editor and marketing. That was what I moved into. But most of my career since then is profits and local enterprise agencies, youth enterprise schemes. I've worked for the government for a little while. And then I did actually go back to Sage 13 years later to do inbound marketing and social media for their startup product. So I brought with me all that experience of how to engage with startups and freelancers and micro business owners. And then, 4.5 years ago, I finally started my own business, which the business is actually called Plan Digital, as in P. Lancaster, Plan Digital.
Very good.
And again, I'm doing inbound marketing, community engagement consultancy. But the thing I'm both the Startup Week event. And where that came from, I just thought the northeast of England in particular, loads of great businesses, loads of great support, but a lot of people didn't know where to go for the best help and advice. It was still a bit confusing. And what you find is when you're a business advisor or you're in that startup world, you've read all the books, you've been to all the events, you've got the network, you know where to go for the best help and advice, but most people don't. So I thought, let's create an event which just puts everything in one place, puts it all in a really easy to understand format, 5 days, and over the 5 days takes people through the whole journey. So day one, inspiration, day two, getting started, day three, funding and finance, day four, growing and scaling, and then day five, keep going or pivot. And so we've started in 2017.
That's good.
First two, we had last year we had just over 800, and this year I was aiming for 1,000.
Mm. I mean, because it was all done through your Facebook group this year, right?
Yeah, so obviously the lockdown, massive challenge for everyone. So, at the beginning of the year, running events is tough anyway, right? Because it's very difficult we don't make a lot of profit from the event anyway. And it's we kind of run it almost like a social enterprise anyway, try to create a platform for lots of people to benefit from and put back into the community. But most of our ticket sales tend to come between March and May. So we make money from sponsorship and ticket sales. We have a steady from the moment we announced the date up until the event, but it's mostly March till May. So obviously when the lockdown happened, totally screwed all that money we were expecting to cover everything, and that keeps us going for a year. So March was just, okay, how do I stop money going out and get a bit more money coming in, steady the ship a little bit, and then thought, don't want to cancel the event completely. I still want to do something, but I pivoted to doing an online event for just over 300 people this year. and we ran it all through private. So content wise was amazing. Like we always have amazing speakers over 5 days, and engagement levels were really high. I was surprised how engaged people were, but it was not as good as a physical event, but the next best thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that. So I'm involved in a few in-person events and stuff. So when March happened for me, like, because I designed this year pretty nicely. Well, I thought, anyway, I designed it pretty nicely with just doing, like, I really like workshops and stuff like that and facilitating in person. So I mainly put myself a year's worth of doing that kind of work, which all cancelled on Friday the 13th of March. Like, I was like, oh, now what am I going to do? Like, because it was quite nice weather in the middle in Derbyshire, actually. I spent 2 weeks in my garden sulking, thinking I'd wait it out for a week or so, like until this thing was over. And then kind of figured out that the way I wanted to do work wasn't really a thing and it needed to move online. But do you know what? I'm very much like you. I've been pleasantly surprised with the online version of events.
Yeah.
And the engagement and stuff. I've been to a couple of really amazing ones, obviously yours as well. I don't know if you, but Can Lions did one. You know, if you're in the marketing scene, you would have heard of Can Lions. They did their...
Yes.
They did their live Can Lion live in online as well, and Nudge Stock from Ogilvy was like really good, like really good events. So what? Like I don't know what the future holds for events. What do you think? Do you think we'll be back in a massive group in a room in the foreseeable? Or
It's very hard. I mean, it's very difficult to plan anything because at the start of the lockdown. What I said was, I don't want to cancel the event, I want to postpone it. So at the start of the lockdown, I said, we'll do a physical event in September, thinking September was a long way away and everything will be sorted by then. But in the meantime, do the online event and create this private startup week community that people could join and still run that 5-day event. So I've kept that running all the time since May. So Monday to Friday, we still do post content in there along the same 5 themes. And then we did a second online startup week event in September, which you took part in, which is amazing. So the idea now is to just keep that startup week community, that private Facebook group running all year round indefinitely. And I will do something in May, but COVID permitting, but who knows? But it's, I don't know, it's like, The good thing, I suppose, I've been talking about this, you can't replace the energy, the human energy that you get from people face to face. This is great, you know. I was just going to say, you can't replace the energy that you get from face to face. I mean, online events are great, and there's some fantastic ones I've taken part in. But I think the event that we did in May came at the right time because people had been getting used to doing Zoom chats and Teams calls, and people were wanting something to look forward to and to be inspired and motivated and supported by. And what I've realized is the events that we do, the physical events in particular and the online events now, it's not just about startup. It's about definitely giving people that sense of community and being amongst like-minded, supportive people who can help them and signpost them and match them up to the right people, because it's a bit of a cliche, but when you're self-employed, when you're working for yourself, it can be quite lonely and even more so now, quite isolating, particularly if you don't have people, friends or family that are doing it. So it's really important to have that place that you can go to and get that all year round support.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like we've had... a previous version of this podcast with a girl called Hannah York, who runs a little community in Derby where I'm based, and we explored how the importance of community and connection is even more than it was now, because you know you need, as you're often sat on your settee or your kitchen floor, like on your own and stuff, you don't get that discovery, that stumbling into other people that you get in real life events. So it's important to have that connection, I think. But you mentioned something there I want to kind of explore a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like of like-minded people looking at stuff, right? And I know your world is the startup week, so people either in startups or looking to start their own. But I think there's some common traits of startups, right? Some things that people who work in startup or founders of startups have a kind of a competitive advantage over more traditional, more fixed businesses, especially in times of change like this. Like, for example, I've noticed a couple of organizations, so a couple of engineering firms who've had their main business model really disrupted because of COVID, right? Like really, really badly, that they've had to think really quickly and creatively and spin out another, their own startup, right? Which is now things are kind of getting back to normal. I hate forecasting stuff because you never know, right? But thing that now their business is starting to come, it's now become another kind of good solid revenue stream that's unaffected, right? So what, which I think is really good, I think a lot of businesses can learn stuff from startup world, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say like a valuable traits of a startup, what makes them so special and exciting to work with, do you think?
I think, you know, being open-minded and curious, yeah, and not too fixed, not, you know, it's overused phrases like growth mindset and stuff like that. But like if people are fixed on only doing things a certain way, when things change, when the market changes or some global pandemic or something like that, if you're not able to adapt, then you will have real problems there. And I mean, you find this with corporates as well. You know, there's a lot of people will have read or heard about the Lean Startup by Eric Ries, but he's got a follow-up book called The Startup Way, which is really good. And it's like 5 years later, it's all about all the things he's learned since writing that global best-selling book. And he's become a consultant for everyone from agencies, US government agencies, massive corporates, Silicon Valley startups. And he talks about how startups typically are really good at innovation and what called search. They're very good at experimentation and trying out new things. But what they're not so good at is the execution, the actual scaling up of those ideas. Whereas the corporates are really good at execution. They've figured out the formula of success. And they're really good at like rinse and repeat, doing it again and again, just to maximize the value. But often they've forgotten how to do the search and the discovery. Yeah. So he's proposing this like middle way, the startup way, where the corporates can learn from the startups and the startups can learn from the corporates, and how that's the ideal. You should always have some flex and some ability to be constantly innovating and adapting. And then you kind of proposes almost having a function within your organization on the same as like HR, finance, you know, having an entrepreneurship function. But he also says ideas, entrepreneurship, innovation can come from anywhere in the company, but there should be some people, it's their job to take those ideas and scale them up. Yeah. So being open-minded, being curious, being willing to try new things and not being too set in your ways is a common trait. Because even the stuff, I was thinking this the other day, although this year's been a horrible year for a lot of people and awful in many ways, and touch wood, I'm okay. But if you're an entrepreneur, I think it's been an amazing year, like an amazing test. For me, it's like really put me to the test. And like I've always been very creative and innovative, but like it's put me to the test, and I've come up with some great ideas, and I'm still going strong, and I'm actually I've grown as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, personally and professionally this year. So
yeah, I think, well, same with me, right? It's always, I'm kind of agile the way I work anyway, because there's only me, right? So I'm a kind of a consultant. So I'm pretty adaptable. I don't have staff. I don't have an office, right? So it's been one of the more fortunate ones, but it's also been the only challenge I've faced, like really, that I can't control. You know, that wasn't me buggering stuff up, do you know, like a real challenge going, all right, well, what to do now? And it's all that stuff we talk about, all that, those ideas we share, all the books we read, right? It's about having those tools, but putting them to use. I've got loads of tools. I love learning stuff, right? I've got a 23 years worth of stuff, like in the back of my head, but it's, you know, putting them to, like you said about the corporates, right? It's about executing them. Like now was the time to take some action because you had to.
Right? Yeah. I think as well, you know, the event, the physical events that we do, I say each day has a different theme, but day one, the inspiration day, is kind of the main event where over the 5 days we had just over 800 people last year, but day one has just over 500. And then days 2 to 5 are more like 200 and a slightly different audience each day.
Yeah.
But day one is everyone. It's pre-start all the way up to corporate and everything in between. And we do get quite a lot of corporates who come along because they want to learn how to be more entrepreneurial. They want to know how to innovate from within, like the phrase intrapreneur, you know, they want to know, and they want to tap into that entrepreneurial mindset. So yeah, there's, I think anybody can learn from it. And I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day about how I think some of the people that are really, really struggling and understandably are the ones who, they've always been an employee and they've always been kind of told what to do. They're put on furlough and they just kind of sat there waiting and then they get made redundant. That must be really, really difficult because it's completely out of your control and you just sat there waiting to be told when to go back to work and what to do. And then if your job goes and if you haven't prepared for that, that must be so difficult. So
yeah, it's definitely been a tricky situation for many, many people. I know, you know, a few of my closer, like inner circle of network and stuff are kind of reliant on like weddings for income. Like they only do weddings and it's like, it's been tough for them. Like, because people have moved all the weddings to next year, but now we're in kind of early October. Next year looks a bit close to be having a big wedding. Like it's a tricky situation. So they're looking to, like you said, to be curious about what else they can do, because they've got all these skills that could be cross-functional. You don't have to just point them at the wedding industry, right? There must be something else. These skills and this agility and this mindset and this experience can point you at. And I think it's communities like yours and people like yourself who can facilitate that, can help like nudge them onto the next step or point them in the right direction. It's going to be important now for, I don't know, 12, 18 months, I can imagine, because it's not, like, it's far from over as we as we speak, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, going back, like, the common traits as well, I think it's entrepreneurs or startup founders or whatever, it's feeling like you can control your own destiny. You're not waiting for other people. You're not letting other people control your destiny. I'm not going to let COVID defeat me or stop me doing what I want. I will adapt and I'll find a way. And so that, I think that's the attitude that you've got to take, whether you are self-employed or not, you know, is just to think, okay, there is a way around this. And yes, it sucks and it's not what I want. And nobody likes things being taken away from them, but once you've taken stock of it and you've got used to it, just like there's always a way around it.
Yeah, there is always a way forward. And I think, you know, startup people are people who think like entrepreneurs have entrepreneurial traits. Can that's what we're for in the world, to look forward, because a lot of people are just don't look round the corners that they're not meant to look round, right? It's difficult. But I noticed as well from obviously being involved in Startup Week that you're launching your a startup, right? Tribes.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to tell us a bit a bit about that and the plan?
Yeah, sure. So when I first started my own business in 2016, I was doing a bit of consultancy, but I had two big ideas that I wanted to do. And one was to create an online platform, like a super connector platform, right? Because it's a bit of a buzz phrase, but I'm known as a super connector, right? So something that would sign people and speed up the process from idea to launch to growth to investment. Okay. So I spoke to a few investors and a few developers, and the investors were like, "Love it, but go away, build it, make it successful, then we'll give you some money." And I was like, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work, is it? So, and some developer friends of mine were like, "Yeah, we'd love to work on it with you, but don't build anything yet. Like, just try and see what the appetite is, like, build an audience around it." And so I already had an audience of my own around me. I had an above average number of followers on social media. But I thought, okay, my other idea is to do this big event, this Startup Week event. So why don't I create the offline audience first, build a community around the 5-day event, and then I'll come back to the idea of having this like digital platform underneath the Startup Week event. So that's basically what I'm doing now, but the two are merged merging into one. So after 3 years of doing the physical events, and then this year of doing the online events and building that online community, the idea is that Tribes will be this new platform that we're going to launch in May, and it's going to help people build niche networks around themselves and their ideas and their business. Might not be a business, it might just be a project, but the way it'll, like a freemium platform, people can sign up, will have limited functionality, but they can pull together all the relevant people, products, services, and support for their idea or their business. And it'll make recommendations and signpost them to the best people, not only based on what they do and what they need, but based on what other people like them have done, people that have been successful. So it'll say, okay, come people like you that have been successful, this is the bank account they used, this is the software they used, this is the place they went for help, this is the funding that they had. So yeah, Tribes is the name of the platform. But we're connecting the different tribes. We're connecting the entrepreneurs to the investors, the support organizations, the professional services. But everybody can have their own unique tribe within that as well.
That's really interesting. I like that idea a lot. I read a thing this morning actually where about traditional businesses, like, because I'm sure it was McKinsey or something, but somebody did some research of business leaders, and they were saying that they think the new normal work, right? I hate that phrase, but like is probably 2 days or 1 day in the office, and 60 to 40% of office space will be decreased because not everybody's in it every time. But the world of work and the world of business and enterprise is a lot better, because now if you don't have to commute in every day, you don't have to employ people from 30 miles around your office. Mm-hmm. Like, you can employ the best people for that project.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And even do more contract or project length work. So I think that, you know, designing the vehicle that connects people to projects, mm-hmm. and facilitating that, and people to funds and people to knowledge, mm-hmm. right, it's a really strong idea for the next, well, it's definitely become super relevant, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I say, I had this idea, it wasn't called Tribes at the time, it was just called a super connector platform, but I came up with the name Tribes last at the end of last year, and got two co-founders that I'm working on it with. But people were already interested, and I have had some good offers of investment, but not quite the right deal, and getting a lot of interest from people at the minute. And but I think, you know, the downside of the new way of working or the new normal is if you don't have that network already, like I do have a good network online and offline. So I have, I guess, an advantage in certain situations. But I try to use my network to benefit others and create a platform for others and stuff like that. But if you don't have a network, or if you're not if you're not bumping into people and having these serendipitous conversations or overhearing things in the office or in meetings or co-working spaces, because I'm normally based in a co-working space, and you miss out on so much. So that's again what we're going to try and do, is try and give people those connections and that information and advice, but it's focused on them and their needs, because still there's too much where people have to jump through lots of hoops to get what they need, or they're overwhelmed with information. I mean, that's a key thing I'm noticing during lockdown, is everybody's in sales mode, or like so many people are just like pushing out content, and some is really good and some's not so good. But there's so many webinars, Zoom chats, Teams calls. And in a way, we don't need more content. We need better curation.
Yeah.
And that your podcast is greatly curated, because you've got great guests. And then my event is really well curated. Do you know what I mean? It's like this. I think I've been speaking to a few people where they're so overwhelmed, they just disengage. They don't even look, because they don't know where to start. So it's better to have a place, a trusted source people can go to, whether that's an event or a platform or a podcast, or a trusted source of information people can go to, and they know that it's going to be good. It's going to be a bit of thought put into it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree totally. I think that's super valuable for the people out there, and it'll be good. We'll put the link to Tribes and Startup Week in the show notes, of course, so people can check it out. But it's you're definitely right about the content, right? It's like, I don't know, like everybody's gone into hyper mode. Like I'm a marketer in theory. I like consuming stuff in theory, but it's like everything's kind of contradicted. You can always find a contradictory opinion not too far scrolling past what you already don't, right? It's difficult unless you already know, right? If you were starting from zero or scratch, say you got made redundant and go, do you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to go out on my own, because jobs are tricky to find currently. I'm going to do just normal freelancing, right? And want to know, there's so many kind of sources of information, books and videos and gurus who just make money by selling courses of how to be flipping successful, right? It can be a minefield, right? It can be a very tricky place to choose, because if you choose the wrong one, it's, you know, it's a hard place to start from. If you do that. So that was good. I think that's a good place to end today's conversation, Paul. So where can people get hold of you if they want to find out more about what you do? What's the best place for people to go?
Yeah, so the best place, I mean, I'm consistent across all the platforms, but I'm Lord Lancaster. So on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm at Lord Lancaster. But if they want to find out more about the Startup Week, so not just the physical events, but the online community, if they go to newcastlestartupweek.com, and it's not just for people in Newcastle, and it's not just for startups anymore, but they can join the online community if they want to. That's open to anyone. We do have people all across the UK who've joined that. And what we're offering now is it's £75 to join the online community, and that gives them ongoing business advice and support. They get the 5-day themes Monday to Friday. They get some content or some resources that are going to help them along those 5 themes. They also get one-to-one consultations with me, special offers, deals and discounts, and they get free entry to our Tribes event, Touchwood, when we could do that.
That'll be awesome. So I'll pop all those links in the show notes, people, so you don't have to, if you've not got a pen handy at the moment, don't worry. And I fully recommend it. I was fortunate enough to be part of this year's Startup Week event, and had met some really interesting people and had some good chats, and hopefully helped a few people as well. So I can really recommend it as a generally good community, whether or not where you are on the startup ladder. So thanks very much for coming, Paul. This has been the Rebite number 3, and I'll catch you next time.
All right.